Thank you for joining us on the Rescue and Revive Gospel Show. This is Pastor Dominic DeNisi, and we are here today at High Falls Rescue and Revive Ministry Headquarters with a couple concerned Christian citizens, Don and Terry Bardeen. Now, if you're watching Facebook Live, you can't see Terry yet. You will. But we're here with both the Bardeens. They are reside in the Spencerport area. And today we are going to be talking about the gospel, as we always do on the Rescue and Revive Gospel Show, and Proposition 1. Now, that's both of those terms are kind of, if you're familiar with Proposition 1, it's kind of an oxymoron to put the gospel and Proposition 1 together. But we're going to hopefully inform and educate you about what Proposition 1 is about. It's being called the Equal Rights Amendment. And we're going to shed some light on that topic today. So here with Don to my right, if you're watching via Facebook Live, Don, thanks for coming in today. And we're going to get right into it. First and foremost, as I told you and Terry, the gospel show is about that. It's always about the good news of Jesus Christ. But with that being said, we have it's an election year. We are 3 weeks away. And we have, I think we all feel the weight of the importance of both on a national scale, local scale, a state scale. And there is something that's going to be on the ballot this year, on the back of the ballot, interestingly enough, and it's being called the Equal Rights Amendment, otherwise known as Proposal 1. And it's worded in a way which could be deemed very, very deceptive, and that's very, very troubling, because although it's called Equal Rights, if you really peel back the layers, it actually isn't equal rights. It's more about taking away certain people's rights. So can you talk, Don, a little bit about that?
Yes, correct. You keep calling it Equal Rights Amendment, which is a technical term, the right name, but we refer to it as not the Equal Rights Amendment, but the Parent Replacement Act.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Does it affect? That's what it does.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about. So you call it, and when you say you're at least affiliated with the Coalition to Protect Kids.
I got all my information and all my knowledge from the Coalition. Right. Yes.
And you're very active in that that sphere. So tell the people who are watching or going to be listening via radio, why is the Coalition to Protect Kids calling it the Parent Replacement Act when it's technically called the Equal Rights Amendment?
Because the end result of this amendment to our Constitution will put into place a mechanism for, there's several laws already written, but not yet brought to the floor of our legislative body in New York State. They're simply waiting for this amendment to be approved. Once it's approved, they will pass those laws, and they will be able to stand on those laws based on this amendment. They'll always fall back to the amendment to support what they're doing. And primarily what these laws are intended to do is to advance the agenda of the LGBTQ community, whatever that is. I keep hearing about it.
Right.
But transgenderism, that type of thing. In effect, a lot of, I would call it, for me personally, because I'm a Christian man, anti-Christian values.
Right. Can you talk specifically for those people who are maybe watching or listening, maybe they're not familiar, they haven't heard of the Equal Rights Amendment or Parent Replacement, as we call it, Parent Replacement Act. Talk about a few specific bullet points, maybe the major ones that this would affect. Let's say this passes. How would Proposal 1 affect, let's say, children and parents to begin with? Because we're calling it the Parent Replacement Act. So talk about how that, a few bullet points, how would that be most directly affected if it passes?
One thing to keep in mind is that minors would be, based on this constitutional amendment, would suddenly have the right, if they either could get a lawyer or somebody representing them, to go against their parents. So the parents would not even need to be notified if a child wanted to have transgender surgery, for instance. They can do it. They can make that decision on their own. And I'm talking children, not adults.
So you're saying, let me just to clarify. So this proposal, if approved, would allow somebody who's 12, 13, 15, without any parental consent, to go behind the back of their parents and have transitional transgender surgery?
Absolutely. Okay. Correct.
And that is a bit frightening.
A lot.
That's a bit frightening. How about when coming, pertaining to female athletics, girl sports, how would it affect
Excellent point. female, biological females, the whole reason for us having girls sports was to allow them to be able to have a level playing field to compete on. everything that's been accomplished for women in sports mm-hmm. will be annihilated mm-hmm. in New York State by this proposition. A biological male will mm-hmm. be able to insist just because he feels like mm-hmm. he's...
Which is going on already in different places.
One thing I want to mention, this whole proposition, it adds basically 12 different categories to mm-hmm. our existing article in our Constitution. Mm-hmm. And most of them are just defined by whatever that agenda is. Mm-hmm. There's no scientific basis for the vast majority of them.
Okay, great points. And so to correlate this to the gospel, why normally, as I've said in the past, I'm not a political activist. That's not my calling. However, I realized not too long ago that it's not a time to be silent. It's a time to speak, because what we just talked about directly correlates to the gospel, meaning this: parents are biblically commanded to be the ones that raise their children, not the government.
Right.
So this flies in the face of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Biblically, God created male and female in his image. So
right.
this flies in direct opposition
exactly.
to our biblical beliefs and biblical yeah. mandates. Totally. So that's why we're talking about this today. What would you say to those? And we're going to talk more about this. What would you say to people who say, you know, regardless of what happens, I'm just going to leave it alone. God's in control. It's going to work out the way it should. And they're kind of just, they're silent and they don't move on this at all. What would you say to them?
I would say that they need to get back to the, I say get back to the basics. If you go back to the basics of our foundation, mm-hmm. and our biblical basics I'm talking about, the government will be upon his shoulders. We're mm-hmm. supposed to be, the government of this earth that we live on mm-hmm. was given to us by God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not up to man mm-hmm. to determine what should happen. God determines it. We're simply his instruments.
Right.
We need to be involved.
It's kind of like faith with feet.
Yes.
Prayers with put exactly. feet on your prayers. And I'm excited. We have a meeting coming up Thursday at Smithport Bible Church
yes.
where I'm currently the pastor.
Yes.
We're looking forward to that. And there's some things practically and spiritually I want to challenge the people with. At the end of our meeting, we have Aisha Kreutz coming in, who is part of the Coalition to Protect mm-hmm. Kids. You're going to
yep.
be on the speakers panel.
Yep.
I want to read this, Don, pertaining to what you just said, because
sure.
this, I think many people who are old enough, and in fact, there's a movie coming, I don't know if you're both aware of this, Don and Terry, about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's coming
yes.
out November
yes.
22nd. I'm
yes.
looking forward to seeing it. I did a Facebook Live, and I talked about this German Lutheran pastor, Martin Niemöller, and you probably are familiar with this quote, or this small excerpt of what he said. He said, "First they came for the communists, and I did not speak because
yeah.
I was not a communist.
Yeah.
Then they came for the socialists, and I did not speak
yep.
out because I was not a socialist.
Yep.
Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me." And it reminds me kind of what's going on today. It's kind of paralleling exactly what's going on. And clergy, he was clergy.
Yes.
And
yes,
he was silent. And I think, and I'm... must admit, not till very recently, I was in the same boat. And I do think when you look through the scriptures, Jesus was primarily apolitical, but there was a very specific cause. It was for his kingdom. Well, we live here on this earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's a little bit different. We are supposed to be defending the fatherless. We are supposed to be standing for truth. And I've said this proverb often, that the righteous are bold as a lion. And so what we're trying to do right now is inform and to
yes.
educate people. And then we'll do our part fighting the good fight as well, because we know ultimately we're not fighting flesh and blood,
yeah.
but spiritual wickedness, principalities, so on. It's the powers of darkness. We know that. With that being said, we're going to do a quick, what's it called, a fireman's drill or whatever?
Fireman's drill.
We'll have Terry come in, because we're in a smaller space here in High Falls. At least Facebook Live, you'll see the switch. You won't see it via WYSL when this is going to air at 11:30 p.m. But Terry, are you calm now?
Maybe.
Yes, you're calm. It's fine. It's just like I said, just having a casual conversation.
Yeah.
You know, we prayed before we went on. You were
yeah.
very emotional, which is understandable.
Yeah.
God, you know, touched your heart, which I completely understand. And I believe this is close to God's heart. This is a pivotal time. This is a pivotal time in our culture, in our state, in our politics. And just to think, growing up, any of us, I'm old enough, we're all old enough to think that somebody who is a biological male would be able to play on a female. It's preposterous. In fact, It was a University of Nevada, I believe, five collegiate athletic teams just protested and said they're not going to play against these other teams that
That's
have
good.
Biological males on the team. It's preposterous. It's ridiculous. Let's be honest. All you need is common sense. You don't need to be a Christian. You just need common sense. But common sense is now precious because a lot of people don't have it. So talk a little bit about how you've been approaching this and how have you been praying for this in a sense of in the spiritual aspect, because ultimately, again, that's what we're battling. We're not battling what we can see, it's what we can't see, the spiritual realm. So how has God affected your prayers? How has this affected your prayer life and the way you're pursuing this as far as the Lord goes?
If I can get my composure.
Yeah,
I had asked God to help me, and I said, God, what's on your heart? And he said, the children. And so we need to lift up the children. We need to we need to protect the children. And that's my heart, is to protect the children, to help them, to minister to them, to let them know the truth. They need to know the truth. And then they'll be set free. And
that's God's heart. And you're almost, I can almost feel it because you're almost trying to, I'm almost starting to get a little emotional. But I'll tell you this. We know specifically that Jesus gives very, very specific consequences if you harm one of his ones. And that's better a millstone be placed around your neck and you go to the depths of the sea. That's pretty frightening.
Yeah,
I was reading this. I'm teaching Romans at Spetsbury Bible. And there's a passage of scripture in Romans chapter 3 where Paul refers to Psalm 5, Psalm 14, and he talks about hating the evildoer, our mouths are open graves, and so on and so forth. But then he ties it together by saying this, there is no fear of God before their eyes. I think that's really the issue. I don't think there's fear of God before these people's eyes. And I'm not sure how far Jesus loves you is going to go. I think they need to see the lion of the tribe of Judah, the one that has dominion and power over everything, keys to heaven and hell. But what are your thoughts regarding that? Because obviously, you're very compassionate, very tender-hearted toward this topic, as you should be. What would you advise people to do right now? What would you advise people who are aware of this? What would you advise them to do as far as spiritually and practically leading up to November 5th?
Well, I think we need to pray for the children. We need to ask God to help us, to show us what to do. I would say get a hold of them. Let them know the gospel. Open up their hearts to receive Christ. And then disciple them. We need to disciple our children and let them know that God is real. And he has a plan and he has a purpose for each one of them. They're not something to be thrown away. They're precious in his sight. And so that, I don't know if I answered your question right.
You absolutely did. Yeah, you absolutely did. I think that's great. And as I mentioned, and I think Calvary Chapel Rochester, I believe it was last night, had the same informative meeting. I think
good.
Aisha, she was involved with it because she accidentally sent me a text. I was the wrong pastor, but so they had a meeting last night. I hope that was profitable and informative.
Yes.
Thursday, Spetsport Bible Church, 7 p.m. to 8:30. We're going to have Aisha as the speaker. Don, you'll be on the Q&A panel. I'll do the opening and closing. I'm going to have Pastor Matt Smeltzer open up in prayer, and we'll be hanging out there for as long as people want to after to gain as much information and knowledge, because ignorance, as I said, often is a tool of the enemy. And I'm guessing, just by what I've been observing via internet and just in my own backyard, I think most people probably aren't aware. Am I right in saying that?
Yes.
Most people are not aware of this.
Yeah.
And so if you go to the polls and you turn your ballot over and you see the way that this is worded, Equal Rights Amendment, it looks as if you vote no, you're voting against common decency.
Correct.
And that's absolutely the opposite.
Yes.
Very, very deceptive. So it's very important we get the word out. I'm going to ask one more time. We do the quick switch. We got about 10 minutes left, believe it or not. I told you go by fast. I tell everybody that it's going to go by fast. I don't know if they believe me or not. So we're only down. We're about 10 minutes left. Thank you, Terry, for that so much. Don, let's get back to it. I noticed here too on this handout that we're going to be giving people Thursday evening, it says protection for churches regarding outreach and services could be eroded. Now, Rescue and Revive Ministries is a mobile gospel outreach ministry. I think of Compass Care. I think of any pro-life organization. Let's just hypothetically say that this Proposition 1 passes. We pray it doesn't, but let's say it does. We'll have to stare it in the face, and we know God's still going to be with us, and we'll get through it because the government's on his shoulder, as you already said. How would that affect, how is that going to affect those type of parachurch ministries and organizations?
The way that this is going to affect our very way of life. Take a Christian school, for instance. Or
yeah.
A Christian, or a
church. Sure. North Star Christian, Finney, Greece Christian,
anything. Right. They have a lot of principles and values. Part of their policies are based on scriptural
of
values.
Course.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody decides they feel that's discriminating against them, and they, for instance, they want to be hired to work there or hired to teach there. And the school or the church says, no, that you don't fit into our scheme of things,
sure.
They can take them to court. So the real insidious problem with this Proposition 1 is when, once these laws are passed, all these different institutions will be very, very open to be sued.
Yeah.
It's going to cost a ton of money, and at the end of the day, they're going to lose based on the Constitution if this passes.
Hypothetical situation. I was just telling you, we do a Monroe Ave outreach right in front of Monroe Ave. We've gotten great favor from the authorities. We've never been, we always cooperate, by the way, with authorities. It doesn't matter if we're doing a crusade. And I just told you we came back from the Lincoln Memorial. We always cooperate. We have respect, great respect for our authorities. Hypothetically, you hear about reports in Canada, for example, of open air preachers, street preachers getting arrested, right? Because it would be considered hate speech. Will it get to that point? Would that be so? In other words, hypothetically, if somebody's out and they're reading scripture, trying to get the gospel out, could they be, if this passes, could they be legally considered people that are, you know, propagating hate speech?
I would say the simple answer to that is yes. But the way that will probably work is as laws get passed, they'll suddenly find themselves in violation of a law. The laws aren't even maybe on the books today, but once this, believe me, they're waiting to pass existing laws. They've already written the laws. The only reason they haven't brought them to the floor, as I said before, is because they're waiting for this proposition to pass. That'll give them the backup for the laws that they want to incorporate.
Okay. So it's going to, what I'm hearing from you, Don, and the answering same thing, Terry, when you answer these questions, basically life as a conservative, as a Christian, as anybody who has traditional family values, if this Proposition 1 passes, life is going to get more challenging for
yes.
us.
Yes.
In a nutshell, that's kind
Definitely.
Of what it
yeah.
has to deal with.
Yes. If I could just...
Yes, please, go ahead.
Say one more thing. You mentioned earlier, talking about the wording of the ERA, the way it's worded, it's very deceptive.
Mm-hmm.
And to make that crystal clear,
please
early 2023, the Coalition did a survey, and they talked to New Yorkers in general, and they first asked them about the ERA amendment, and just real basic, there was something like 67-69% were in favor of it. When they asked that, then they subsequently educated that same audience and told them what was actually in there, the acceptance went from 60-some-odd% down to 29% for.
That's the key.
Education is the key.
That's the key. Inform and educate.
Yes.
I don't know. Again, God is the same yesterday and today and forever. He still performs miracles, I fully believe. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's too late. We're going to find out in a few short weeks. You know, and Terry's saying it's not. And I love that optimism, right? But the reason I say that is because the statistic you just shared, you know, 69 to 29%, 40% difference, again, because it's being veiled in deception.
Yes.
So they're going to turn over the back of their ballot, and they're going to read something that's not true. They're going to read a lie, basically.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's the troubling part to me, is that, again, ignorance. Keep people in the dark, and we're trying to be that light on the hill of the city to shine, because we fully believe that this goes against, as I said, it's not just Christians, although we are Christians, first and foremost. It's against people who have conservative values that are Christians.
Yes.
It's against people that have family values that are Christian. This goes against the Jew. This goes against the Muslim. This discriminates against anybody who wants to keep traditional values. Am I right in saying that?
I would say you are.
So I want to make sure that people know that this is a meeting on Thursday is open to the general public,
yes.
far and wide. You can come from any city, any town, any state, because we want to inform and educate you about what this thing is about. And I have a feeling Aisha's going to do a wonderful job. I've worked with her before. And again, we have plenty of time for a Q&A on that even. Plus, you can message any of us. You can message me to ask more questions. If I don't have the answer, I'll try to find it out for you. And there's other people. There's politicians out there. For example, Virginia McIntyre stopped by.
Yes.
And she gave me a ton of information that I would be bringing that night. So the people, God strategically places his people, even in the political sphere.
Yes.
I think of Len Morrell. I think of different politicians that are standing for righteousness' sake. It's just a matter of whether or not we can get the word out and then people put the action on that. Okay. We're approaching the end of the show, but we're also approaching that big day in November. Mm-hmm. Most urgent thing you could tell someone right now leading up to voting?
Most urgent thing I can tell people today is that we all have our smartphones. We've got contacts on that smartphone. Mm-hmm. I would challenge every single person here, social media, if you're on social media, between social media, your iPhone, your contacts, get the word out about Proposition 1 and to vote no.
Vote no. Okay. Get the word out. Terry, from a distance, since you're there, we could either switch one more time or you can just tell me you want to switch. No? Okay. So why don't you tell us and I'll relay it on the, at least the radio part. Most urgent thing you could tell someone regarding Proposition 1 leading up to these last few weeks of Election Day.
Vote no.
Yes, well, she said it loud enough to where you probably heard, yeah, vote no.
Vote
and
no.
We just have to do our part.
Yeah.
Again, practically and spiritually. You know, Thursday, I believe I've been given a specific mandate in how to encourage and challenge people at the end, both spiritually and practically. And we know you said something recently. And I said, that's exactly what's on my heart to do. You know, when I think of Esther, right? When their people, the Jews, were in trouble, what did she do? They called for prayer and fasting.
Yes, they did.
And God spared them. You look throughout the scriptures and the way that the men and women of God fought these things, understanding that Haman in that context, they weren't battling flesh and blood. It's behind it. It's the spiritual aspect. I think we have to keep that front and center as we move forward. Yes, inform, educate, and then go and vote.
Amen.
But we have to make sure that we're appealing unto our God.
Amen.
Through fasting, through prayer, and just not losing hope as you're not with your optimism, Terry, which is encouraging, that the Lord's going to bring us through regardless of the result, regardless of what happens. Please, go ahead.
And vote biblically.
Vote biblically is what you're saying. Absolutely, yes. Yeah. You know, people, what do you feel about
that's
this
our platform.
Goal? Yes. Last thing I'll ask. Last thing, because we're almost out of time. How about when people say, what do you think about, how do you do that? I was going to ask you a question, but how do you do that? How do you vote biblically, Don?
How do I vote biblically?
Yeah.
Well, I think the first thing to do is, before you vote, pray.
Okay. Good word.
But then just, and it's not complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, if you just go back and remember the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, this country was founded on basic biblical principles.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in the Word, you'll understand what the Word says, and you'll go vote accordingly.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're down to the last few minutes. I want to thank you. Those and people are tuning in right now on Facebook Live, and some are commenting, although I can't see the comments right now. If you have questions, or keep the comments coming. If they require a reply, I'll get back to you. But you know, normally I ask people at the end to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you just in 30 seconds, in your own words, to you, if somebody's watching or listening, what is the good news of Jesus Christ dying? You got 30 seconds.
The good news of Jesus Christ is simply Jesus Christ died for my sins.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm forgiven. And I can't overcomplicate it. I tell people all the time, sometimes people that are having trouble coming to the Lord is because they're trying to analyze everything in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
It's a heart thing.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Faith comes by hearing, not by sight. Justification by faith.
Yes.
You are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. That's how far as you move our transgressions when we put our faith in the finished work of the cross. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to end today with a prayer corporately, and then we'll say goodbye to the viewing audience and the listening audience. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you, and we do lift up this very important topic, and we just ask, Lord, that you be with us. Help us to get the word out, Lord. Help us people to know to vote biblically, vote correctly, Lord. Help us to do our part in fasting and prayer, God. Help us to never lose hope, never lose sight of you. the author and finisher of our faith, and the hope for this nation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you again for watching. God bless you. Remember, if you want to find out more, Thursday, 7 p.m. to 8:30 at Spence Port Bible Church, 1948 North Union Street. Go to the polls come November.
Yes.
If you're early voting, make sure you turn over. Don't be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Vote no when it comes to Proposition 1. God bless you. Have a great day, great evening.